You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. In April, Scott Green, a fourth-generation Idahoan and University of Idaho graduate, was named the 19th president of that institution. Green graduated in 1984 with a bachelor's degree in accounting. He received an MBA from Harvard in 1989. Green left his position as global chief operating and financial officer for a New York City-based international law firm to come back to Moscow. On July 1st, he took over the reins at the U of I, and he's got a pretty big job ahead of him. From disgruntled boosters regarding a decision to switch football leagues to a more than 2.5% drop in student enrollment this year, President Green has been kind enough to join us live in studio to talk more about the university. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma.
And welcome back to Idaho.
Oh, that's the best part, right?
Right?
Coming back home. Indeed.
So before we get into all the heavy lifting questions, let's talk a little bit about you and your family, because not only do you have a long history in Idaho, you have a long history with the U of I.
I do.
Namely, your grandfather.
Indeed.
So Leon Doc Green, he was the U of I athletic director who actually raised money to have the Kibbe Dome built. And am I correct in saying that he made you fold towels in at Memorial Gymnasium back when you were a kid?
It might have even been worse than that. I think I washed him as well.
So,
yeah, indeed. And that's when I was a little older. But, you know, I lived with my grandparents when my dad was going to law school in Moscow. And, you know, as a little kid, my grandfather would just take me to work with him in the summers, which was great. And I spent a lot of times in Memorial Gym, which is where his office was. So that was kind of my backyard growing up.
So what was that like in the sense that there was your grandfather, the athletic director, your dad goes to law school there? I mean, was it just kind of a given that that's where you would land when you went to college?
Yeah, it was, actually. I don't think there was ever a doubt that I would go to the University of Idaho, you know, when I graduated from Boise High. Just, another place never entered my mind. It just was. I was going to be the third generation, you know, to go there, and that's what the family had in store for me.
And when you were at the University of Idaho, it wasn't like you just went to school there and got a degree. I mean, you were highly involved to the point of becoming the student body president.
Yes, yes.
Talk to me about that experience.
Yeah. So, well, that and you know, being part of a fraternity and you know, part of the officer corps there, and just my general experiences at the university, I learned so much when I was there. I made all my largest mistakes on campus, which is really what is great about a university and a campus and a community, right? They're there to, you know, point out your mistakes, pick you up, dust you off, and send you on your way again. And it just prepared me very well for my career. And I owe the community there in Moscow an awful lot for that.
So when you graduated in 84, you go back to the East Coast. I'm sure you've come back to visit over the years, but what has it been like to actually plant yourself back in Moscow after being away for so long?
Yeah, so I have stayed involved. I was, you know, on the alumni board, on the foundation, on the College of Business and Economics Advisory Board. So I never really completely was separated from the university in all those years. I was always involved. But I have to say, coming back is a great experience. My first day, you know, walking down the hill from my house to my office, it took me 10 minutes. And to put that into context, my commute in my old job was 3 hours every day.
Oh.
So
we have nothing to complain about.
No,
about
it was one of the best days I've had in a long time.
Yeah. What's it like for your family to and I'm talking extended family, but also your own nuclear family, to have you back here?
Yeah, so I would say for my extended family, it's terrific. My mom's here in Boise, and I get to spend a lot more time with her, which is really nice. And I've a couple brothers and a sister as well, and so just getting to see them, you know, more often is just really great. I have two kids in college back on the East Coast, and my wife has a job back there, so we're kind of in transition right now. You know, and my kids are at home as we speak, and about ready to head back to school. So we'll keep our house out there for a while until my kids are graduated. But you know, my wife is coming out; she's helping with the house, the president's house. It's empty at the moment; we have no furniture.
You at least have a bed, right? You're not sleeping on an air mattress.
No, I had a bed on the floor for the first month. Now I'm actually off the floor.
So It's just like you're back in college.
That's exactly what I tell people. I feel like I'm in college. You know, I get up every day and I'm on campus and I'm going back to and sleeping on the floor with a place with no furniture.
Yeah, see, it's just like the good old days. We're talking with the 19th president of the University of Idaho, Scott Green. He was named president back in April. He took over the position in July. Okay, let's talk about your decision to actually apply for the job of president. Because as we mentioned, I mean, you had a lucrative career on the East Coast. Why decide to throw your hat in the ring for this position?
Yeah, so it started really with a discussion of the alumni groups here in town, and I've always been connected with them, and we just wanted to change, you know, the discussion at the state board. We'd had I'll be the fourth president in 10 years, right? And so I talk about it being a lost decade because, you know, when you're switching direction four times within a decade, you really don't even get momentum, right? You really can't, get pointed in a direction and keep that momentum going. So that's how the discussion started. You know, for me, putting my hat in the ring is really when a couple alumni came and talked to me about doing it and just saying, listen, you know, we think that you're the right person for this job. And I called a former boss of mine from WilmerHale, and he was on the he's a fellow on the Harvard Corporation. He helped select the last two presidents. He teaches at Harvard, and he knows what I do because I used to work for him. Mm. And, you know, I said, Bill, I'm not sure this is a great career move. You know, you take a pay cut. You know, if it doesn't work out, there's nowhere to go, and I'm moving across the country, you know. And he said, Scott, just think about where you will be 10 years from now and looking back. Do you want to say you worked for another law firm and made those lawyers a lot more profitable, or would you rather say you educated 100,000 kids in a state that could really use that?
And you know, you brought up the point about the presidents, because I do believe that that is arguably something that is a concern for many alumni of the University of Idaho. As you said, I mean, just if you look back for 15 years, if you include interim presidents, there have been seven. Now look at the Boise State University. In that same time, Bob Custer was president from 2003 to 2018.
Indeed. And thank you for making that point, because that's the point that we were trying to make to the state board as alumni. And so I'm very pleased that I have, and I feel privileged to have this opportunity to serve the University of Idaho. And I've stated many times, and I'll state it again, that, you know, I'm there until I can't do the job anymore, I'm not any value, or the state board decides that they don't want me. You know, I'm committed to this job.
What about the idea of your wife still being on the East Coast? I understand she has a job back there. Because, again, there was concern with your predecessor and the fact that his wife, she did eventually move, but then decided to be in Boise, not be in Moscow. And that caused some friction with boosters, with alumni, potentially even with legislators. How do you respond to that with your wife still being on the East Coast?
Well, she's coming back and forth, and that's the point. You know, we're in transition, so it's not she's not spending all her time back there. And, you know, I think those who have met her on campus find her, to be a person that fits in really well in the community. So I think that we're different people. We're we're looking at a different time.
And you brought up the point about gaining traction when you've had so many changes. And when we look at that and we think about the legislature and the boosters and alumni, how do you respond to the idea of it's all well and good that you say you're going to be here, but this we've seen turnover in this position? How do you calm those, maybe a little bit of anxiety?
I don't think there is anxiety. As I travel around this state, people are fired up. They're so glad that, you know, they've got an alumnus running the university, and they want to know how they can help. And, you know, for me, you know, it's just trying to prioritize things at this point, because everybody wants to participate and everybody wants to help the university move forward. I don't think that anxiety exists, to be honest.
And maybe that's the key right there, is because you get the University of Idaho because you went there. You went to school there. There is something about the Palouse that if you have not lived there or gone to school there, and I say that being a proud graduate of WSU, just 8 miles down the road,
indeed.
I always said about the Palouse that if you love it, you stay. If you don't, you leave. And in our case, you went home to Seattle and went to the UW.
Indeed.
And having that experience, how does that play into you then being, you know, president?
Well, you know, an alum last night, we sponsored the Shakespeare Festival over here on the river. And it was just, last night, and it was a wonderful event. But one of our alums, you know, last night just said it. She says, you get it. You get us. You know what we're about. And, you know, I think I do. You know, having grown up in that town and you know, gone to school there and stayed involved there, I understand what the issues are. And I believe I know how to respond to those in a way that we can get everybody on board and rally around.
Before we take a break, I want to talk to you about the go-on rate. I mean, you know what it looks like in Idaho. Right now, we're sitting at about a 44% college or higher education go-on rate in Idaho. The State Board of Ed and the legislature's original plan was to have that 60% go-on rate by 2020. We're not going to make that. They moved that to 2025. In your opinion, how do we move the needle on that?
Well, it's complex, and there's no easy answer. If there was a silver bullet, we would have already done it,
right?
But for me, looking at the students that I'm going after in the state of Idaho, each depending on where they are, it's a different answer. So if you're talking to a rural kid, you know, in you know Bonneville County, who's you know is making the choice to stay on the farm and work or go to college, you have to make the argument to him that or her that they're going to make more money over their lifetime if they go to the U of I. They're going to be know more about soils. They're going to know more about agribusiness, and they're going to help their family make a lot more money over time. It's just a good investment. If this is a kid in Nampa or Caldwell, more an urban environment, it's a completely different equation. I mean, you got to get there early and before negative forces have a chance to, you know, impart themselves on them and talk about why they need to go to college. And the fact they can go to college, in fact, will help you get to college and will help you pay for it. That can change a child's outlook. And that's why, you know, the earlier we can get to them, the better. So it's different depending on where you're at.
Just a real cultural shift,
indeed.
Would you believe?
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, you have to understand that culture, you know, and whether it be the rural farm or the urban child, there are different cultures. And the answers to each of those go-on rate issues is different.
We're continuing our conversation with the newly minted president of the University of Idaho, Scott Green. Before we get back to that conversation, let's give you some background on the new president. He is a fourth-generation Idahoan. He graduated from the U of I in 1984 with a bachelor's degree in accounting and received an MBA from Harvard back in 1989. He began his new job as the president of the University of Idaho on July 1. I want to start this segment with a question from a listener. It's from Katie Hayes in Boise, and she says, I would like you to ask the incoming president how he would react if he received a letter similar to the one sent to BSU President Trump from Republican legislators asking her to eliminate diversity programs at the university. How does he plan to create an environment of inclusivity and diversity at the U of I?
Yeah, so great question. I would have to say that I hope I would respond as well as Marlene has responded. I mean, she's done an incredible job. You know, really, when we get out and talk to legislators, which we all have been doing, what we really hear is that they just want a fair system. And, you know, we're trying to build that trust that we're interested in all students and all students doing well. And there's some barriers to some students and that are different than barriers to other students getting a higher education. And I think I talked about two of them earlier, you know, whether it's a rural student or an urban student, for example. But we need to increase the go-on rate for all students. And my job is to get as many, you know, kids educated in the state of Idaho as possible. And I'm going to do everything I can to do that. And if there are barriers, you know, to a student coming to the U of I or really any of our institutions, and I think we all agree with this too, if you just get a kid into any of our higher education institutions, 2 or 4 year, that's a win. It's a win for the state. So I'm going to do everything I can to make that happen. And where we see barriers, we're going to try to overcome those.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of all of the other institutions, you've mentioned the need for bridge building with other universities to frankly leverage each university's respective strengths. So tell me about how you plan to do that. And I wanted to mention, too, that one of the ways I think you've already done that is that you, as well as the new BSU president, Dr. Marlene Trump, she actually tweeted a picture of the two of you together earlier this summer.
She did, indeed.
And it really gained some traction because we haven't seen a lot of that in the past.
Indeed. I think the four presidents of the four institutions, and I'd say this too about the community colleges presidents, we're meeting them as well. And we just like each other and we do see things very much the same way that we just need to increase the go-on rate and do anything we can to improve that within the state. But also we see other areas where we can cooperate as well around research and leveraging each other's platforms. Our faculty benefit from that. Our students benefit from that. And there's just no reason why we shouldn't be working together. You know, put athletics aside, you know, we all want to compete and pull for our teams. But at the end of the day, we're here to serve the citizens of Idaho and provide a return on investment for our taxpayers.
And some of that, you talked about respective strengths. So let's take the University of Idaho. What do you see as the strengths that the University of Idaho brings to the table when you talk about all of the universities together?
Yeah, thank you. Well, we do more research than any of the others, and we think that we can actually help them with their research activities. And I just see that as one area where we can really collaborate. And we don't always have to be a lead on these, because I think that BSU and ISU and LCSC, they have faculty who are world class. And I'm just saying that we're stronger if we go to get those grants and to, you know, try to get, you know, federal funding. We're stronger if we go as a team. And frankly, Washington looks at it that way. You know, if they see more than one university involved in a certain project, you're more likely to get funding. So it just makes sense. And we think that we can help in that. You know, there's some areas of differentiation too, you know, for each of our universities. So, you know, for the University of Idaho, you know, we have the only agricultural college in the state. We have the only College of Natural Resources. We have the only architectural program. You know, we have the only law school. So, you know, there are areas too that, you know, where each of us have strengths and that I think we can serve the citizens of Idaho best.
So on the flip side of that, I don't necessarily want to call it a weakness that you would see at the University of Idaho, but what are some of the things that other universities may be doing at a stronger level that could maybe help out the University of Idaho and have more of a collaboration in that regard?
Yeah, so as you know, we as the University of Idaho are land grants, so we're in 42 of 44 counties. So, you know, particularly in the Treasure Valley and around Idaho Falls, there's just so much demand that it just can't possibly be met. And I think working together, we deliver a better product. And I certainly saw that. I was just in Idaho Falls yesterday. I saw it with ISU there. And I know with BSU, there's just a lot of opportunity here because the growth of this market is just is remarkable. And there's still a lot of programs that you know, don't exist here in the Treasure Valley. You know, I would say, you know, chemical engineering being, you know, one of those that, you know, I would like to work with BSU to try to get that up and running. I have had very preliminary conversations with their dean. But, you know, we need to, I think, deliver that service to the Treasure Valley somehow.
And when we look at, if we take the four major institutions, University of Idaho, Boise State, Idaho State University, and Lewis Clark, the most senior president right now is Kevin Satterley at ISU, and he's just come up on 1 year. So even though there has been tremendous turnover at the U of I, but yet there was Bob Custer was in his position for, you know, almost 18 years. How do you move forward? You have this opportunity as presidents coming in and really building a new era.
Yeah. We see it that way, I think. And I don't mean to speak for Kevin or Marlene or Cynthia, but, you know, I do believe we all see it the same way, that we're better off going to the legislature as representing higher education as opposed to representing each of our institutions. We can go there and all say we're great, but that really doesn't get you very far because they're thinking big picture. They're thinking, what is the return on investment of education for the state of Idaho? And I think we have an obligation to come together to make that argument. What is the return on investment? We believe it's incredibly high, and we think that we can show that empirically. So we just need to do that as a team.
So let's talk about that, because coming in January, you will be presenting the first time to JFAC, the Joint Finance Appropriation Committee. And basically, this is when presidents go in front of them and argue your case for why you should get money for your universities. And in the past, there has definitely been some, I wouldn't say bad blood, but there has been some strong arguments for why certain universities should get more money and other universities not being happy with that. And you have to make the case as to why your university should get certain funding.
We do.
But how do you do that yet stay collaborative?
Yeah, you know, so, you know, our point is that there may be priorities in each university that we can all get behind, you know, we're happy to do that. If Kevin's got a high priority project that he needs to work on, I want to support that. What we don't want to get into is you know, the finger pointing. And I hear it every once in a while, well, the University of Iowa has more spending per student. Well, we also have more master's and PhD programs. And so that's why, right? You've got, you know, more resource intensive programs there. But these are our best and brightest kids that are going to come out and add probably the most value to our workforce. So these are worth investing in. And so you just need to be able to make that argument. And I guarantee you, you know, Marlene and Kevin and Cynthia understand that. You know, ISU, it's, you know, they're heavy medical programs. I get that. Those are going to be more expensive, right? So you're not going to hear arguments from me about, you know, what Kevin needs to do to provide those programs.
And we're not going to hear arguments then about enrollment issues, because that also seems to sometimes be a contentious issue about, well, you know, Boise State has more students than the U of I. In fact, I mean, you've seen a drop in enrollment this year. That has always come up in the legislative sessions about, you know, well, this university should get more funding. We have more students.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the programs that are being developed. You know, again, our if you look at it, a cost per student, you know, we're going to be higher. The total funding will probably be lower, excluding extension, which is another part of our mission. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think they come out, they're coming out in pretty good places, as long as we're able to tell our story. And again, you know, just because I it is a limited pool, but just because we have different structures, we're going to have to divide up the money differently for each institution.
And what about not placing it on the backs of students? Because historically, when we look back at our state legislature, funding for higher education has gone down. So the answer has seemed to be raise tuition. And that goes also to our go-on rate.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, to give some credit to the legislature, the last couple of years, they've done better, right? And we still raise tuition. And part of that is, I think both, you know, Kevin and I have structural budget deficits that we have to address. We never fully recovered from 2007, and we've never really recovered those funding levels. So, you know, we've still got a ways to go. But I'm focused very heavily on bending the cost curve. At the end of the day, we have to be competitive with the institutions that are around us, you know, in other states. And even though our programs are of the highest quality, you know, sometimes, you know, those few extra dollars make all the difference for a student going on, right?
So. Well, before you go, I have to ask about athletics.
Yeah.
And we know that many boosters vocally express their displeasure when former UI President Stabens made the decision to move the Vandals from the FBS to the FCS going into the Big Sky Conference. I mean, in fact, some boosters called for his removal. I mean, this was a big deal to boosters. Some boosters even pulled out with their financial funding, their financial support. You've said you need to get those boosters back. You've also said, but we have to show that we're competitive in the FCS. How do you stay in the Big Sky Conference and get those boosters back?
Well, you know, if they're real Vandals, they'll come back, you know, and
they like to win.
They do. And I want to win too. You know, as a grandson of an AD from at Idaho, I also want to win. And so, you know, we just need to rebuild our programs there, and they'll come. And I think also, you know, the minute, you know, you have a conference championship, you know, everybody celebrates, everybody feels good about it, and they realize that, you know, we're probably in the right place at the right time. You know, there may be a day when there's a reshuffling again, based on some court cases where there may be opportunities, but we have to make ourselves attractive. You know, right now we're not as competitive as we need to be in the Big Sky, except for our women. You know, they won the cup last year, so they're doing really well. But, you know, our men's football and basketball teams need to do better, and we want to support them so they can do better. And we've already started that process by bringing in what I consider to be a world-class athletic director.
Right, and I want to ask you about that. So it was just last week that she was named. Terry, am I saying her last name right? Golic?
Indeed.
And she is coming on board. Talk to me about her, because a big deal that she is the first female AD, but she's also up for the job, it sounds like, when you look at her resume.
Yeah, you know, I hate to say she's the first female AD. I see that in the papers, because honestly, she was just the best candidate. I mean, when you look at her resume and what she's accomplished in her career, it's unmatched. And her contacts are unbelievable. She's served on so many NCAA committees that she knows everybody. You know, I reached out people that weren't on her reference list, and I just reached out to coaches, ADs, commissioners across the country. Everyone knew who she was, and they all said the same thing: if you have a chance to hire her, you better hire her.
And she's got a lot on her plate coming into this. I mean, she's got to hire a new head basketball coach, basketball coach. You've got the new basketball arena that was approved by the SBOE in March, as well as she has to deal with disgruntled boosters, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Is she ready to do that?
Oh, she is. She's got 25 years, at Wisconsin, and we just happened to get her at the right time. You know, her husband was ready to make a move. His parents live in Bend. She loves small communities. They actually don't live in Madison. They live outside. She's from Texas originally. They love Moscow, So it's just the right place, the right person, right time.
Would your grandfather be happy with the hire?
I think he'd just be very pleased. Yeah, I think he'd be very supportive.
I want to thank you for coming in today and chatting with us. Appreciate your time. Good luck in the position. Welcome home to Idaho.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have been talking with the new president of the University of Idaho, Scott Green. Up next, an update on child marriage and if the laws could be changing here in our state. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.